This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
This one woman, I swear to God, she must have been a kid, but she just kept talking to the screen. It was ridiculous.
Was she yelling at Sonic, or was she...
Pretty much.
Bob, why did you see Sonic opening night, dude? What are you doing?
Because there was nothing else to see.
Don't go to the movie then, buddy.
Bob can't not go to the movie.
Actually,
Adam, do you hear yourself?
My brother wanted to see it, so I just said, oh, fine, I'll go.
All right. So, guys, I was just going to say, it's episode 218 of the Nerdcast here on Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage, the one and only Geek Garage. Head on over to geek-garage.com to check out all the cool vehicles as well as all the events they're at. As it gets warm, and we used to have a lot of events coming up. That means the geek cars are coming back out too a lot more. So go check them out where you can see them, especially if you're in that Denver area, a lot of them there. So Nerdcast, we're talking about Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie that opened this past weekend and opened to a record opening, the highest opening weekend for a video game movie.
So much rather be talking about Sonic the Hedgehog, the video game.
Right? I think we all would. We all would. So the first review headline I saw on it, I haven't read any reviews on it. I don't even care. But the first review headline I read on it did say the movie lives and dies by Jim Carrey. And then I believe, Bob, when we were started talking about it in the group before we started recording, you mentioned how, I think you said, batshit great or something like that Jim Carrey is. I don't remember what you said.
I think it was batshit crazy.
Okay.
I mean,
he's gone that way. He's gone that way personally too. But
most of the budget on that movie went to the scenery because Jim Carrey chewed it up and spit it out. He was all over the place. It was funny. He was funny, but man, he was definitely on some kind of medication.
Are we Ace Ventura crazy?
Mask
crazy?
I think it's a combination.
Are we anti-vaccination crazy, or are we...
Bullseye, right there, right there. That's it, right there.
So it's fitting with current Jim Carrey then. It's working.
Pretty much.
It worked out then. So he played a good... Mr. Robotnik.
Yeah.
Robotnik. And who voices Sonic?
Dr. Robotnik. He did not spend seven years at Evil Medical School for you to call him Mr. Robotnik.
Fair enough. As well as a great reference right there. But fair enough. So you had Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik. You had Cyclops. You had
James Marsden
as this guy. He's not a character from the game, right? Don't die over there, Bob. That's really what he is. Like, who voiced Sonic?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Looking it up.
Nobody was interested in seeing the movie.
I felt like the voice was somewhat familiar, though. Yeah, Bob. Well, apparently he wasn't the only one because it brought in almost $60 million, which is huge considering how poorly Birds of Prey did last weekend. The now Harley Quinn : Birds of Prey movie, because they had to change the name of the movie.
I love that they changed the name.
Did you see the movie, though?
No.
Go see Birds of Prey. It is way good. Like, it is way better than it should be. This isn't Bob saying Sonic was good. This is me saying Orion and I left Birds of Prey like, wow. Like, wow. Like, we were really impressed.
But you started with, like, so far you said way better than it should be. In the message, you said best action in the DCEU so far.
Yeah.
And none of those are very high bars.
Yeah, really.
Like, I mean, those are pretty low bars.
That's fair. Bob, you saw it. You back me up on that. The choreography for the action sequence in Birds of Prey is fantastic. Like, it really is good. No?
I didn't see it.
Oh, I thought you saw it, dude.
No, I didn't see it.
You've seen Sonic, but you haven't seen Birds of Prey.
By the way, Ben Schwartz is the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't know who this guy is. But no, I didn't see it. I was working last weekend when it came out, and that stopped you because
that's never stopped you before.
It stops me. When I'm working, I don't want to get called out of the theater because I'm on call, and I hate to do that because I only see half the movie. But I'm going to try to see it this week. I work a couple days, and I know it's still playing in the podunk little town that I work in. But yeah, I do want to see it. Actually, it's doing really still doing it. You know, they were really kind of getting down on it because it didn't make as much money. It did $20 million this weekend. I mean,
I think it'll have legs. Yeah, because there's not much coming out to compete with it, to be honest. So what, I think, Adam, you saw Parasite this weekend. Parasite's still showing here. Knives Out still showing here. Star Wars is still showing here.
Parasite only released last week. I'm only a week behind in the UK.
Where you are.
It took forever to come out here because we don't get a lot of...
Do they not have theaters there?
I've seen it three times now. And that was actually our Saturday night plans. We're like, we can go to a movie. And she's like, but you said you already saw Parasite three times. I'm like, I mean, if you want to see it again, that's what that was my response. Like, if you want to see it again, and? If you want to see it, I will see it again. I will watch it a fourth time soon.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is so good. So damn good.
Yeah. Well, hell, you have it on video. You can
Thank you, Bob. I got the digital copy from his Blu-ray purchase. So it's really good. But Birds of Prey in theaters. Sonic, Bob is giving it a...
I'll give it a thumbs up, moderate thumbs up. I'm not going to say it's Parasite, but it's fun.
I hope you're not going to, if you're going to say it's Parasite, I'm calling an ambulance to your house right now.
Right, yeah, we're going to get obviously committed, everybody, don't worry.
Something is obviously happening there.
It's just an enjoyable flick.
So the cool thing about Birds of Prey, as much as you say Jim Carrey, like Carrie Sonic, Birds of Prey lives or dies on Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, which was going to happen anyways. We've talked about how this isn't a Birds of Prey movie, and it isn't. And really, they shouldn't have named it this, but they do a good job setting up what could be a Birds of Prey movie. The Birds of Prey characters are great. The actresses that do them are fantastic. I like it all, but this is definitely a Harley Quinn movie, which is fine. Once I learned all the things behind it too, I kind of even had a little more respect for it. That Margot Robbie was the one who financed it through her production company. She brought in women writers that were familiar with the comics. She brought in women director. She had such hands-on. And I really still think, I know Aquaman is fine. Shazam was pretty good. But I feel like since we've gotten post Zack Snyder, we're seeing it take strides. It's got a long ways to go. The DCEU's got a long ways to go. I see your face, Adam. But it's taking strides from where it was in the Zack Snyder era. So that's for sure.
Well, my face was, you're going to be careful because the Zack Snyder cut is supposed to be silly good for Justice League or whatever.
Oh, we'll wait until we actually see
it. Yeah, that's the only people that are saying it are the people that were involved that they're occurring performances and movies getting told is so bad.
Yeah. No.
It actually might be better because it's hard for somebody to come in and finish a movie and refilm scenes and kind of put it together. So, I mean, that was a lot to ask of Joss Whedon. So it's, you know.
With your comments there, I mean, I think a lot of it's just going to, we'll see what happens when Wonder Woman comes out later this year. I mean, that's still coming out in June.
I know, but it's that, so I'm hoping the delay had more to do with DC, with Warner Brothers just saying, you know what, 2019's Marvel's year. Like, we ain't touching this. This is, they're closing it out with Endgame. They've got Captain Marvel. They've got Spider-Man, which is huge right now. We're not even touching this. I hope that was the main reason for the delay, but I am still really worried. So for my anticipated movie list over on projectnerd.com for 2019, I had Wonder Woman like in the top 10 easily. Now for the 2020 list, I think I dropped it all the way to like 18 because I'm like, anytime a movie gets delayed that long and then we're introduced to a character that already died, like, I'm a little bit worried. So.
Oh God, there we go again.
Yep.
We'll get to the Stranger Things trailer. I'll get to
when, it. When was rant. It supposed to have been released? What? When was it? Back in November?
No, I thought it was earlier in the summer. I thought it was closer to like the other Marvel August, releases. Right? Yeah. Like, so... it was going to be
August or September or something, I thought.
They called it well ahead of time. It wasn't like it was getting, they like this time last year, I felt like sometime in the winter, they were like, we're going to go ahead and push it back to, it's a smart move if it is a business decision because Marvel doesn't have it in them this year. Well, we don't get anything till the fall, really. And it's a whole new kind of restart.
We got May with Black Widow.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Black Widow.
But I mean, it's, you know, Black Widow is not the type of movie that's going to swallow Wonder Woman. Endgame was the type of movie that swallowed the box office, literally setting records. I mean,
right. Black Widow would be, if anything, those movies would enhance each other, right?
I think so,
Just with the strong female lead pulling through. And also, I think you're right, Black Widow's not restarting phase four, right?
I think
back facing a lot.
They kind of said it was.
It's technically part of phase four, but I get what you're saying. It's not launching. Like you get, is it the Eternals that drops in this year, right?
Yeah.
In November?
Yeah.
So that's really, I would agree with you. This is technically phase four, right? Because we've wrapped phase three, But if you really want to say where is phase four going to start, you know, in terms of story wise and what's happening, it's not, it's going to be on Disney Plus.
This is going to be a lot the of Eternals, the backstory for her. And then where do we go? It'll be the intro to where we're going. And then.
Right. And I think as we talked about it, when the trailer dropped, I think we started to talk about it a little, but I think the big question will be is if this is super successful, are we going to get more Black Widow? And do we get more past Black Widow or do they do what everybody else is doing and just bring back characters that died because nobody dies anymore? Looking at you, Stranger Things. Looking at you, yeah. Star Wars. Just saying. I don't know. I don't think this is the end of Black Widow. I don't think this is.
I don't think so either. But by the way, let me jump in there. The original release date for Wonder Woman 84 was December 13th, 2019, which was like a week ahead of Star Wars.
Okay.
And then they moved it back to November 1st. But then they moved it to June. So
for the summer release. Okay. I don't feel as bad about it then.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I was really worried because I felt like you were leaving a summer blockbuster season for another summer blockbuster season. But I get that that's not that bad, really. Yeah. I mean, that's a few months of maybe cleaning up some stuff, a few reshoots, which are normal for movies without them having trouble. So,
and again, not going up against the major franchise closing out its story, right?
Yeah, that was Star Wars wrapping up the entire Skywalker saga. Yeah. You were.
It's not like the New Mutants, which is, I think, a 2 years post.
That was Disney's decision.
Is it ever actually coming out?
Yeah, it's out now. They started remarketing it.
It is coming out soon.
Yeah, so they're marketing it differently and they're pushing it out. I think that's around early summer too. So, like April, May sometime.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
But I think Disney, I don't know, you say it's exciting, Adam, but apparently when Disney stepped in and saw it, they thought it was so terrible that they were just going to remove it from the list. But then, as my understanding is, they're like, well, it's made. Let's just put it
out there. Like,
everybody wants comic book. Yeah, right.
Anybody that comes in, we're catching, right?
Because the worst,
spend any on making it.
The worst thing that happens here is it bombs and it just gives, you know, Feige more reason to say, there's no independent box operation.
All of the mutants are getting rebooted. Done.
Yep. So, I mean, if anything, it's a win-win for them. So, okay. So Sonic out this weekend. Sounds like Birds of Prey had another good box. I'm telling you guys, Margot Robbie's fantastic in it. She channels her inner Ryan Reynolds of Deadpool, like does a really good job there. The action's fantastic. Really enjoyed it. Like you said, Bob, I'm not going to call this Endgame. I'm not going to call this Wonder Woman. I would say of the new DC movies, behind Wonder Woman, this might be the second best one.
It's the voice. It kills me. I mean,
she does a great job as the voice. That's Harley's voice.
She does, and it is. But for whatever reason, animated, it feels okay. Live action, it feels just, oh.
It's like nails on chalkboard.
Well, I could take it in
small doses.
It was easily the best part of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's
she's the only good part of
Suicide Squad. We're talking about low bars. That's a real low bar.
But there was a whole lot of people that in that movie, and here it's focusing on her. And so.
Right. It's going to be her. What, 90 minutes, 100 minutes?
Yeah.
I think it was 2 hours. I think it's almost 2 hours. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, dude. It's fantastic. And man, so Black Canary, I can't remember the actress's name, but if any of you remember Full House, as the middle daughter got a little bit into her like preteens, she had the little friend that was the black girl. I don't even remember her. That's the actress playing Black Canary, like out of nowhere. Yeah, dude. Like, it's crazy. That's who Black Canary is.
Has she been in anything since Full House?
Nothing that you would know. Like, when I went to look at her history, because she is, not only is she fantastic, she's absolutely gorgeous in that film. And she is great as the character. And I do appreciate, I watched Screen Rant's pitch meeting about it, which is really funny. And she doesn't really use her power that much. And they make, obviously, a joke about it in the pitch meeting. But I think it helps because, again, I feel like if this was titled differently, you see that this is the origin for building the Birds of Prey team for what could be a movie. And Ramona Flowers is Huntress. Like, first of all, Huntress, we've talked about my favorite Mary Gotham characters.
Winston,
I know, but she,
yeah, I get it right.
You know she's Ramona Flowers. She will always be Ramona Flowers to us, Adam. Flowers, yeah. Yes. So... and Ramona Flowers totally would be a superhero. So she kind of is, like she kind of already is. She's very like rigid at start. And then they kind of give her backstory and you have a reason for it. Cause I was like, man, is she mailing this in or whatever? But it's part of the character. So it really ends up working. I think she's great as Huntress, and Huntress is one of my favorite characters from the Gotham kind of world. So I think you got a good setup. And then the movie ends in a way that you can really continue making multiple films with characters to where it doesn't have to all be together. It is violent. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Did they tell a story at least though? Like, this isn't
There's a total comprehensive end-to-end story. Okay. Like, yeah. Okay. there. I mean, there's definitely your typical, like, this I'm happens okay to, setting to, things to move where plot,
you,
right?
Where you don't close it. But I mean, like, do we at least have a cohesive story arc where...
Yes, I would say we have a cohesive story. Where we started
and ended something.
We have a fantastic villain. We have a fantastic
I've heard
villain
great things about you, McGregor.
We have a fantastic villain who's not a villain. Because she's kind of a villain too. So she does some shitty shit in that movie too, which is pretty good. But Ewan McGregor's great. I took my son. We did not take my daughter, who desperately wants to see this movie. Rated R. It is rated R.
That's Black a hard
Mask.
R.
They are taking faces off of people, Black Mask Ooh. And his dude. There's people blowing, like, and they are showing them blowing up. Like, it is not light violence. This is hard R. So keep your kids away. Hopefully, if you haven't already made the stupid decision of taking them, but
they're traumatized for life.
Yeah. It's overall. So I told Evie, because she really wants to see it, I said, when it gets to home video, right? Like, there's three or four scenes that I just don't really want you to see. So it's most of the action is your typical comic book movie action that we're seeing in these PG-13 Marvel and DC movies. I mean, they want to establish Black Mask as like the legit villain in the universe, the Screen Rant pitch meeting, because they're like, so where's the Joker? I don't know. Maybe he's out of town. I don't know. Maybe he's out of town. So it's a good movie, though. Sonic's out. What do we got? Parasite's still out, which Adam saw. Bob, how many times have you seen it now?
I've seen it probably about 5 or 6 times. I see something different every time.
Still, yeah, I've caught stuff. So I showed it to Orion right ahead of the Oscars. That was the third time I watched it. And I caught like 3 things that I had to hold on to point out to him after it, because I was like, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I mean, we were watching it, and then like on our ride home, we were talking about it, and like for another half hour after we got home, like all of the subtlety of like the different shots and the continuations of shots and the subtext and the meaning behind how some of those things are set up. And
I don't know how it didn't win editing. Just the editing in that film is phenomenal.
Well, we talked about, so when we were picking, and Bob, you mailed your ballot in because you had to do it. When we were picking, we talk about it every year. You feel like these ones that win a lot of the technical awards are getting these because they're not going to get the big awards, right? The acting, the directing, the movie, the screenplays. I feel like watching Ford versus Ferrari, because Ford versus Ferrari got editing, right?
Yes.
I finally saw that this week. A lot better than I was even expecting.
It's a good movie. Yeah, I just saw it last week.
It is edited really well, too.
I told you a long time ago that you
I know you did.
Watch that
I just
movie,
hadn't
dude.
Seen
Come
it.
On.
I had to wait for Bob to give me a digital copy. I had to wait. It was a really good movie. And thank you for that, by the way, Bob. So I wasn't able to watch the Oscars, which Bob just could not get that night because he kept messaging the group to me about stuff that's happening. I'm like, Bob,
oh my God,
still not watching it. I know, I'm like, Bob, still not watching, still can't watch it. I don't have TV at all anymore. But I watched some of the speeches, who won what. I felt like this was the first time in a long time that the Oscars like really got it right. Like, I feel like they got it right across the board. And I think as Tyler was talking about, and Bob, you kind of put a mention out there too, you're not even mad about, because you two are usually at the top there, not even mad about losing this year's competition that I won, just putting that out there. And because of the people that we were picking against, we wanted to win, but we thought there's no way. And then they did, because they deserved it. And it was really good. Adam, I know, pick it with your heart. Although, dude, you tie me if you don't take the chance on Adam Driver and Claus.
Oh, I know.
And Claus for animated picture.
I looked at both of those.
I was like, those are the two. When I look at the few you missed, I'm like, of any of the ones, the two that you were just whatever about, those are the two. I do want to point it out there that I did win. And I do want to point out, I was wrong on the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I was right that it wasn't going to be 1917. All the steam is building up to 1917. But I think if we would have done that 2 weeks later, I think most of us would have picked Parasite
Picture,
because it built so much steam in that last few weeks. Like it was just steamrolling everything.
And I'm going to be really honest. When you texted me and said, I need you to email me my picks, I was sitting in a truck.
Get that excuse out there.
Weather, already had a few beers. I was at the tailgate for the division championship.
That was your choice, Bob. Your choice.
And you know, and then like a couple weeks later, I think I had made a comment to you about
you wanted to change your picks. I'm like, no, you're not changing picks right now.
but you know, it was that week that Klaus won all the animation awards.
He did want to back you up on that pick.
And it won the BAFTA for animation. So I was going to give you props on that. But at the same time, I just said, I want to change a couple of my picks, because when I do my picks, you know, we do it closer to the Oscars.
Right.
I do a lot of research and a lot of looking into different things like that. And with this one, I didn't get that chance. I mean, I didn't get to see Ford versus Ferrari. So I didn't know about the editing. I had a feeling about the sound and stuff like that. But like I said, I'm still kind of going.
You know, car movies and war movies. I think that's why we were able to bank on it. Because I think like all four of us got both of the sound categories right.
Like I went 1917 on both.
Oh, that's right. That's where we pulled away. Because that's where you messaged the group and said, I think I'm out now or something.
No, like no. Every one of the damn shorts and I was out with those. But on when I got, you know, go back to the editing. Yeah, Ford versus Ferrari had the quick shots of the cars and the racing and stuff like that. But with Parasite, it was just those little intricate cuts. You know, I saw a documentary yesterday on the peach scene in Parasite. The 8 minutes leading up to that, there was like 60 or 70 different edits in that short amount of time. And just each one led to something different. And it was so cool to watch. And you kind of sit there and you go, why didn't this guy win the Oscar? It was just, it was really,
I mean,
it was something. That was
but like how many times can you look at the movie that wins Best Picture and be like, it could have probably won for most all of the major things. Categories?
I think the last big one like that would be the Del Toro one.
Shape of Water.
Yeah. Shape of Water. Like you look at all the technical things of that. Like, yeah, that totally could have, you're right. Like it could have swept everything,
Swept all of those awards and then all of the big ones too. And I think you're right, Iggy, that everyone's like, it's going to win. It's going to win the big one.
That's what I think. Cause when you get to that last part, you get to vote across the board, right? Like, so when you're voting for the nominees, you're voting like actresses are voting actresses.
Writers are actors.
Right. So when you get to this point, I think so more people have that full ballot to where they're like, we saw like even not only did we see Parasite start winning everything, people part of the Academy that were leaking anonymously their ballot were saying Parasite. Right? So everybody was picking Parasite. So I think that's what you're saying, Adam, is where they're okay, I'm picking Parasite for Best Picture. And I really liked Ford versus Ferrari too. Really love Matt Damon and those guys. They're my friends. I think they did a great job. I got to give them something here. So I think that's why you see those go. And to be honest, Ford versus Ferrari was a really good movie and only got awards. And only got two technical awards.
Well, look at Once Upon a Time in Hollywood only got two awards.
Right. You
know? Is that the biggest number for a Tarantino film?
No.
No, I think it won two before. It won two for...
was it Pulp Fiction?
I feel like Django
Bastards.
I feel like Inglourious Basterds is where he started to get the recognition.
Because that got Best Supporting Actor and Best Screenplay.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, he's won a bunch of, I mean, he wins awards. That's what he does, right?
Yeah.
Now
we got supporting actor in that one.
Christoph Waltz.
Oh, yes. 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 Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right. Totally worth it.
And who got supporting actor in Django Unchained? Christoph Waltz.
He's so good. Really good. So I made my top movies of the year list. Once I saw 1917, I knocked Jojo Rabbit off the list because 1917 as a creation, as a whole,
is amazing.
Is a masterpiece. It is a masterpiece. I've rewatched Jojo Rabbit. I've rewatched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, watched Parasite yet again because I'm showing Orion all these movies. I feel like the more and more I enjoyed that group of movies, the more I felt like this year, year we come in and we're always like, is there enough? And then there was just so many movies that if they would have won Best Picture that I'd have been like, I'm cool with that. I would have been cool with Jojo Rabbit winning. I would have been cool with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 1917. Personally, Marriage Story, I never thought that one would have, but I would have, you know, it was a great year. And I saw an article too about this was the year of the return of the blockbuster award contender. Because it's not very few of these where we're releasing in New York and LA and then nobody's actually seen them by the time the award show happens.
Yeah. Or there's no Wes Anderson movie sneaking in there where you're like,
this year there is. Did you see the trailer yet?
Oh God, it looks so good.
I'm so excited for it.
Exactly. There was no Wes Anderson-y kind of movie that sneaks in there.
This was, you know, back in 1939, you had all those amazing films. Was it Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz?
None of the rest of us remember that, Bob.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're...
We know the list.
You know the list. I think this was probably the most consistent with that year where pretty much every one of the films.
Joker. Why the hell was Joker on that list though?
Oh, you're still bitching about Joker.
I am. I haven't watched. I finally told Orion, I was like, you know, you can just watch it on your own. Like, because I've been wanting to watch all these ones again with him. And every time something gets brought up about Joker, I'm like, I don't even want to watch it a second. I need to give it a second chance, but I don't. I just don't want to. But I mean, like Jojo Rabbit, watching that a second time, like, oh, it's so damn good. And him as Hitler, like Taika Waititi as Hitler is just phenomenal. But Scarlett Johansson is, I mean, all that.
It's a deserved nomination, right? I mean,
oh, Lord. Why am I blanking on, what's his name?
Who? What?
Sam Rockwell?
Sam Rockwell.
Thank you, Sam Rockwell in that. And what his character does too. Like, it's just such a good movie. It's so good. And we talked about it. I think we talked about it when we were doing the nominees, or even I talk about it in my review for Marriage Story. Like, Adam Driver, like, great on Laura Dern getting that win, but all of those acting, like Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, but especially Driver in that movie, it's just the performances this year. Like De Niro didn't even get on the nominees list, guys, yeah, for doing a mobster movie. That's like, that's usually a guaranteed seat at the Oscars for De Niro. You did a mobster movie, you're in. But he didn't. And I was kind of okay with it because of how all the other nominees were like, so good. Like, and everybody in that movie, The Irishman, was really good too. Like every, just, I felt this year just got like, obviously our group stays energized and excited for cinema because we're movie nerds. But this year just really, like just really to the point to where like, I've been wanting to show everybody. I'll watch it with you a third time because I want to show it to you and I want to watch it again. Like for so many of these movies.
And think about how we started or ended 2018 talking about all the big blockbusters that were coming out. Like how it was a year full of movies we were excited about, but you know, they were huge comic book movies and huge action films and stuff like that, that were like, we were excited about all of those kind of things. And those were still out there too. But then you get into the year with all of these amazing, amazing movies that are well done and well acted and just telling amazing, amazing stories.
Yeah,
you're right. It turned out being an amazing year.
I'm just still thinking about last year after the Oscars and we're all sitting there going, Green Book?
Yeah. So I was looking back at the list. What I need to go back and listen to our episode because obviously we don't have it written down anymore, but what were we picking to win? Because we knew it wasn't going to be Roma because of Netflix.
No one picked Green Book.
I know. And nobody picked Parasite this year either. But, and again, I think we would have if we were picking closer. All of us were thinking Roma would have been the obvious choice, but with it being Netflix, there's no way it's going to win. So I remember us all having that same agreement. I know Adam picked BlacKkKlansman. Which if you look at my list of, I just did an article that came out on Project Nerd a couple weeks ago. That was the 10 should have or shouldn't have won like best pictures. One of the 10 was Green Book beating out BlacKkKlansman. Cause after watching BlacKkKlansman a couple of times, I'm like, Green Book was picked because everybody was putting pressure again on the Academy for race.
It was, like, it was a much better movie.
The safe though. Race movie for sure.
Go read my article and see how many times the word safe is in there. And then when I get to that paragraph to say why Green Book beat BlacKkKlansman, I said, here we are playing it safe again. But it's exactly, they picked it because of race. And then I'm like, but you had a much better movie. They're never going to give Spike Lee a best picture. They're never going to give it.
Oh, I don't think so. No.
They finally gave him his screenplay, but they're not going to give him his.
It's not going to be a Scorsese situation. It's not going to be 20 years from now and they're going to give him an essentially a lifetime achievement award.
I don't think he ever gets it. I don't think he ever gets the best.
He got his screenplay. That's pretty much all you're going
to
get.
And Spike. He was, and to see how excited he was for that screenplay award, which it was worthy of it too. BlacKkKlansman is really good.
Well, and I think, again, writing is as passionate for him as directing is, right?
That's fair. I think
they're both storytelling in a way. And so I think he's as excited about that as he would be for directing.
But so Waititi now, as well as Spike Lee. I mean, we've talking about what Quentin Tarantino, some of these names now all have awards for writing. Like these are some of the people that we've loved since What We Do in the Shadows. Like this is like this is so great.
We watched that 2 weeks ago. Every time I watch it, I'm like, why do I watch other movies? I just watch this all of the time.
Have you watched the series yet?
I haven't seen
the series. I need to watch it. I need it because he's still involved in the series. I don't think he like writes every piece of it.
Yeah, I think he's like executive. He's executive producer, I think.
Right. So he oversees a lot of it, but I haven't watched it yet. I think I have it. Somebody has it to share with me, but I need to watch it because people talk about it like almost as good as the movie. So, and that movie is so great. It's just great to see all these names getting the recognition. And I'm excited because you already know Wes Anderson's going to be at the ceremony next year. He may not be winning. This is the most Wes Anderson looking Wes Anderson movie we've seen. Oh, yeah.
In a dope suit. It'll be cool.
When I saw Timothy Chalamet show up in that movie, I'm like, he's perfect for a Wes Anderson. Like when he just in the trailer alone, I'm like, yes, every Wes Anderson movie going forward, now seeing him act in enough stuff, I'm like, so the cast has got the normals that we have there, but some new people that I'm like, wait, these are perfect for a Wes Anderson movie. So I'm really excited for this. Should be good. Anyways, Bob got 12 of the 24 correct for the Oscar picks. Short films. Adam and Tyler tied at 14 because Adam's alphabetically first. So we put him at second so that way he could get his, because he's usually in last place there. And just also to say, Tyler, you didn't get first or second. But Adam also too, honestly as well, Tyler's 14 were his 14. Like your 14 could have easily been 16 if you didn't take those two big risks. Like, and I get we all took risks, but those were like, and you even say like, well, I'm really going with my heart here for Driver.
I really just really, really wanted Adam Driver to win.
So I think you could have tied for first place. But what I wanted to get at here, let me finish actually. I had 16, I won. That's right. So what I wanted to get out here is, I think what made the difference here, specifically for you, Adam, is all of us that you mentioned, Bob, the rest of us do a lot more research when we pick closer. We've been paying attention to what's been winning where. I think Tyler even brought up the one year that he pulls up the odds sheet for like Vegas and everything to see what's going on. This year, we did it like a month ahead of time. So we had some kind of guidance on it. But again, as we talk about, this was before Parasite just took over everything. This was when we picked, it was when 1917 was winning everything, right? Like all this stuff, the locks were still locks. Like we knew Phoenix, Dern, foreign film, like song and score, like all of us picked like across the board, except for your Adam Driver pick, which I be bold. I get you. Like, I still think Driver was way better than Phoenix. I didn't want Phoenix to win. Point being, I think we all had to kind of pick with our heart a little bit more like Adam does. And therefore it put it a little bit tighter of a race there.
It brought you guys back down to my level. I didn't really go up. I didn't get more right this year. You guys got less. You guys got more wrong. So that's
a lot more right. Do you remember how many you got right last year?
Was it seven?
It was eight. You almost doubled that number. But I think that goes again to what we're saying. A lot more people win that we felt like it was the right pick, not just a political pick or whatever. Like, I feel like Hollywood made the right move, especially with Parasite. And you saw the way they reacted.
They went crazy.
To give it to a foreign language film like this. This was not... Parasite wasn't picked because the studio was throwing pre-parties and sending screener bags with all these gifts, right? Which we hear about that happens so much at the Academy Awards. No, Parasite was being picked because it was the most of all the, there's five phenomenal movies. And of those five, this is the most original thing we have seen in such a long time and so different and so out there. And just everybody's jaw dropped, I think, because all of us got it unexpected. What was amazing, and I think, Adam, I don't know if you had this experience seeing it just now, is that whoever saw it, like Bob, you saw it at Tallgrass.
I saw it at Tallgrass.
And I didn't see it till like a month later. And it doesn't matter, because anybody would see it. And I did this to everybody else who I would talk to about it. I'm like, I can't really tell you about it. Like, you just have to see it. And I think that helped, because then everybody else just went into it like that.
Yeah.
Was that still holding when you saw it just this past week? Like, did you know enough about it, or?
I knew something happens because you see, you know, by the time I saw it, you know, so many things have been out about it. And so I know. So if you haven't seen it, mild spoilers that, and not really spoilers, I'm not going to say anything that actually happens. But what I saw was, here's a movie that starts as social commentary and is just kind of this like cool, almost capery kind of movie that then leads to a thriller that then leads to a horror. And I was like, how the hell do you do that? And then I was like, oh, Parasite, there's going to be like a biological element in here. And you see like the guy stumbling down the alleyway, like early in the movie, but he ends up just peeing. But you're like, oh, there it is. That's the guy. Eventually we're going to find out that he causes all of this horrible parasite problem. And no, that wasn't it at all. That was completely horribly wrong. But
especially coming from a horror director.
Like, right, exactly. I'm like, oh, this is going to be amazing. Korean horror movies are fantastic. I'm 100% on board. And it was absolutely amazing, but it was completely not anything like I thought it was going to be. So yes, to answer your question, it still holds even now that
surprises.
You might have some idea, but you're wrong. So be okay with being wrong, because it's going to be amazing anyway, but you're definitely wrong.
Yeah. You know, when I saw it at Tallgrass, you know,
standing room only,
it was a fight to get in there at times, because they had to move it from a smaller theater to the Irish Center or the Scottish Center. I can't remember which one it was, but they moved it to that big screen and there were a ton of people in there. And so you're just sitting there and you're just getting involved with the story. And I tell you, you know, there's one at the very end, there is just this gut punch. Mm-hmm. And you sit there and the lights come up and you're just sitting there like going, holy shit, what did I just watch? And
nothing you expected.
Right. Laura looked at me today and she goes, I think I'm still reeling from that movie.
I'd say about a month afterward, I was still talking about it.
No, so I sat here, and again, this was the third time I watched it. We watched it Saturday night last weekend before the awards, because I wanted Orion. We had gone and saw 1917. I showed him Once Upon a Time. He had seen Marriage. So he'd seen a lot of the ones. Obviously, I hadn't seen Joker yet. He'd seen Jojo Rabbit, right? We sat down and watched Parasite, and just those moments that I knew blew me away the first time, like I would kind of just start paying more attention to how he was acting, right? And it, just the pure like look of like, what the hell on his face? Like, it was just, it's fantastic. It's great to have a 15-year-old who's so crazy about movies like us, and it's all of our faults that he is this way. But it's great because then I had a moment like that with my son. And then when it was over, he was the same way. He's like, he just like was stuttering his word. Like, he didn't know what to say at the end of it. It was so great.
So the Oscars is what, full name of the Academy is the Academy for
Motion Picture Arts and Science. Yeah.
Right. Okay. But that's an American organization, right? Mm-hmm. You got the BAFTAs in England. You got the Australian Film Awards or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Down in Australia. You've got a bunch of different awards.
I think that's what they're like, the AFAs. I think that's
right. Yeah. I think it is. Right. And so you've got a bunch of different awards in different countries. Are we the last one to give an award to a foreign film?
How do you define foreign film? Foreign language film or foreign film?
I mean,
no, because so the BAFTAs, you're not in a very large country, Adam. Like, there's not a lot of, right?
They make a lot of movies.
I know, but there's obviously probably been in these other countries, American movies that have won, I would assume, right? Because Hollywood is it's the same with not soccer, obviously, but if you're a baseball player, you go to the major league, right? You know, NHL, even with hockey being bigger in Europe, you're still the big paydays here. So I feel like you still probably have seen Hollywood-based movies win it, but like, they would be English-speaking movies, right? Like at the BAFTAs or in Australia or something
So
it'd be the same language.
But I mean, I would assume there are movie awards in Japan, Korea.
So Brazil, I know Brazil has their academy. I'm pretty sure it's also at the Academy of Motion Picture. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's the Brazil one. And I remember Shape of Water won there as well. But as my understanding is, Del Toro had it. And I know Brazil's not Spanish, before anybody comes jumping at us. I know it's Portuguese. However, Del Toro had it in the language, you know, Southern American language is definitely Spanish, but probably Portuguese as well. So I don't know if it was dubbed. I mean, obviously, I would assume it would be dubbed, because that's a lot of re-recording if it's not, you know.
Right.
So I would guess, I don't know if we'd be the last, but at least close to it. That's where I was. Yeah. That's the reason why I asked foreign language, because it's like, I would assume the BAFTAs have given a Hollywood movie of the year, but it would still be English speaking, right?
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't 1917 that way, right. Won the BAFTA, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it also won, they also have a best British film there too. But like, I think in like Japan and all that kind of stuff, they basically classify an American film as their foreign language film. And so I don't think, from what I understand from some stuff that I read, I don't think that an American film has won their best picture in other countries, except for BAFTAs.
This is huge. And you look at like it, without getting too deep into politics and social issues and stuff, you look at where we are as a country right now, strongly divided on a lot of these types of things with culture and you know, foreign people and immigration and all that stuff. And this was huge. Like, this is much bigger than just it winning that award. Like, this is bigger than that, I think. And again, I feel like there's no Disney or Warner Brothers giving out hundreds of millions of dollars of prizes here for people to vote for it either. And that's why I think it's even more significant, is that this one obviously we don't know exact details of it, but this is the most likely, at least in the past, how long to probably win on merit alone, or at least closest to it.
Exactly.
It's a good movie. Obviously, if you haven't seen Parasite, we want you to see it. Yeah, obviously, we are all on board. I know Tyler is on the same page too. I know he couldn't be here today. He's working. Hi, Tyler. But I know Tyler loves Parasite as well.
Yeah. One final note on this is Criterion has announced they are going to release a Parasite release.
No date yet, though.
It's no in the date.
Fall. Hopefully no by date. November for Barnes & Noble's half-off Criterion. That's all I have. That thing out by November.
And of course, in Irishman, Marriage Story.
Yeah, all the Netflix ones are coming out.
All the Netflix ones. So
I'll be buying those still. Now that I got money again, I can buy Criterions again. All right. We're getting close to wrapping up. So one thing I didn't want to talk about, which you brought up kind of earlier. So Stranger Things 4 teaser drop. Spoilers ahead. If you live under a rock, if you don't live under a rock, you've already seen it everywhere. Obviously, Hopper's back. David Harbour's great. That character's great and everything. So the big discussion we had, and we started talking about it beforehand, and it got brought up briefly when we mentioned like Wonder Woman and other things of characters coming back. We can't kill a hero or a protagonist and let him stay dead. And this is where I wanted to have this conversation on it, because I get it. You know, Harbour is great, and he is a character people like, and people are doing his costumes, his Hawaiian shirts. You know, we love him. He's the bad good guy, right? Like, he's not the perfect person.
He's the everyman, right? I mean,
yeah.
He's just this generation's John McClane.
Right, exactly. Oh, great way to put it. So that's fantastic. So he is the end of season three. He obviously makes the sacrifice. It's the, you know, it goes back to the Bible, even the Jesus story, like sacrificing for those around you. We've seen it in The Matrix. We see it in so many. But now I feel like anytime that happens, exactly, they're not dead. And part of it is you have franchises that are running how much longer, right? You have other things. Obviously, I get we had a huge, significant death in the Marvel Universe this past year. So I get there was one there. That was, I feel like, telegraphed for to us for years, though. We knew it was coming. But you had opportunities to kill other people, and we just even brought up the fact that Black Widow is probably not staying dead, right? Mm-hmm. I just feel like what could it have done to drive Eleven's character forward in season four if Hopper stays dead, sacrificed? Not even Eleven, what Winona Ryder's character, all the, you know, all the ones that are impacted by him so closely. Harper was the dad of the group, ultimate, like all of them, right? Like, and it goes back to what I was saying with Star Wars. So spoilers for episode 9-2. Chewie dies, he's not dead. This is the last movie in the Skywalker saga. What would it have hurt for Chewie to have died and that to have somehow fueled Rey? I accidentally killed somebody I deeply care about. What do I do now to try to redeem myself, right? Like, I feel like it could be more impactful if we let these deaths actually happen, which is there's no consequences with death anymore in movies. They just come back.
Yeah. It's like true. Almost all these things are based on comic books.
That's okay. Fair enough. So the running joke, and if Tyler was here, he would say it, the running joke is that in comic books, the only people that stay dead is Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben and the Waynes. And the Waynes die every fucking day. Like, every movie, every comic. Even in the Joker. Spoilers, the Waynes even die in the fucking Joker movie.
Like, this seriously. Is not a Batman
movie. Yeah. Point being is everybody else would come back, and it was always the joke that this happens in comics. So you make a great point there. Almost everything we're doing, like the new Netflix series that have dropped, Lock and Key, October Faction, everything that's dropping is a comic book now. Like, it's an adaptation. So that's fair. That may be the roots of it. But the
flip side of all of that is so you're looking at, you know, if we're talking Stranger Things, looks like Hopper's probably not in America. And so
I hope not.
Right. For at least part of the season, the kids and everybody will be operating under the assumption that he's dead, right?
Yeah.
So you can get all of that growth still, and you get a reunion, bud. It's the elusive win-win-win situation, buddy.
It's not elusive anymore. That's my point. It's happening in every franchise. I felt there's a really, I can't go into it. There's a series where it has to do with a death thing too, and they make a decision, which I agreed with, and it was different to say, but it's hard. It's just, I feel like they're just not like, I think in my post about the trailer on the site, I said, look, I don't need every writer to be George R. R. Martin. We don't have to like just start axing everybody. But at the same time, like, how impactful is Ned Stark's death to the rest of that series by him staying dead, right? And even the future deaths, like how impactful do some of those deaths happen? And I feel like let's bring some back, but it's even more, I think that reunion is even more powerful, or it's even more shocking when it's not happening every time. Cause exactly like you said, like, we knew Hopper wasn't dead. We did. It's this trailer. People are complaining. That's a spoiler. It's not a spoiler. We all knew it at the end of season three. They weren't going to kill it.
But nobody dies in that series.
It's about time.
Bob did.
Oh yeah. I forgot about Bob.
And what's her face?
Bob and Barb. Everybody forgets about Bob and Barb. That's my bad.
Yeah, really. True.
I get what you're saying, but none of the main, like the main characters, right?
Yeah.
Bob was brought in to die. Let's be honest. Right. Like, he was brought in to be the charming side guy who does the sacrifice and dies, right?
Right.
But look how impactful that was to Winona Ryder's character. So, I mean, that would have been kind of harsh to do two for two there. To kill two for two. Just don't date Winona Ryder. Don't date Winona
Exactly.
Ryder. But it's the point there. Like, a great example here is, okay, nobody's died, right? Maybe Stranger Things could take a thing out of Harry Potter's book. No pun intended there. But, you know, Harry Potter, the series grew. She grew the series as it got older, right? So in the early books, you're not killing off main characters. But then towards the end, there's big characters that have to die to move, to make the ultimate things happen.
You want to know what year that was? This many. Year four.
Yeah.
We've had three seasons.
But the end of season three, they don't do Hopper's fake. Because now they can just
all the way to the end of year four.
What, is Hopper going to sacrifice himself again? And we're just all going to go, good Lord. Like, yeah, we're just going to do this at the end of every season? Yeah, like, is that how it's going to be? It's going to be somebody else.
It's going to be Steve.
It's going to be Steve. No, don't you dare think Steve. That's the one you can't do. Those kids have no parental guidance if Steve's gone. That's the thing. Steve is the ultimate mom of Stranger Things. I don't know. But I don't know. Like, okay, so even if you don't agree with that one, how do you feel about the Chewie one? Do you think it lessens anything there by just, oh, 2 seconds later, we see Chewie didn't die, and it was no
second. Oh yeah,
no, the characters didn't know. Don't you guys put yourself in any of these characters' shoes, or do you just watch it from
afar?
You
can better put us in their shoes if you actually follow through on your actions, writers.
Yeah. What's that line? Oh yeah.
You think we're getting anything like that at the end of Star Wars? Are you kidding me?
Oh, it was writing. Total fan service. It was 100%
fan service. You got to be kidding me if you thought anything meaningful.
I guess that's fair. They brought Palpatine back.
They brought Han Solo back just in a miss, but whatever. Or whatever.
I don't know. It's just, anyways, if you have opinions on it, as we've always typically done in the past, this is a great thing to give us feedback on. Anywhere you're catching the Nerdcast, whether it's on our podcast network, seeing us over on social media, on projectnerd.com, let us know in the comments or by tagging us over on social media your thoughts about protagonist deaths. Because antagonist deaths usually tend to stick. So I feel like more so than not, those stick. So we're really looking at the protagonist here, necessarily the hero.
That's a guy that can't die.
Look, Shredder took the ooze and became like Super Shredder. Like it's all.
But how many times have we killed the Shredder?
Not enough.
Or at least I'm with Bob on the Shredder. One. Yeah.
But no. Again, origins of a comic book, Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, this is true.
So anyways, all right. I love me some Kevin Eastman. Before we head into closing thoughts, we got some big things. So if you made it this far with us, obviously go check out our sponsor, Geek Garage. We can't thank them enough. geek-garage.com. All the stuff we referenced, Project Nerd, we also have that hyphen. So project-nerd.com to check it all out. Guess what, guys? It's con season. Woo-hoo! It's con season. So we're not going to be having the big setups at as many shows this year, but you will find us at a few. Obviously, we'll be covering the local film festivals here across the greater Denver area, including the Front Range Film Festival in Longmont this weekend coming up. After that, we will have a small team out at C2E2 getting some great coverage. And then, of course, we got some big things happening in the fall, as we always do. Our favorite events is Colorado Springs, Comic-Con, Tallgrass. And stay tuned for more news on what's happening in Omaha, as our friends at OCON are getting those details put together. Additionally, it's changing, guys. You guys saw it. We've talked about it internally. Looking good. I really like what we're about to do here with this podcast network, guys. So I know we've been off and on for a few months. It's hard. And Adam's in London. I finally got a personal life. Bob's the Chiefs just don't stop fucking winning. So he's busy every weekend. You know, Tyler's got to work. Anyways, my point being, it is really hard for us to commit to recording every week as we grow, not only what we're doing with Project Nerd, but we want to be people too. So we love just recording for you, and we love catching up with each other. This is also for us as much as it is for you guys.
Record more, send money.
We'll start there. But point being is it's getting really difficult. So we've created a new content slate across all of our podcast channels that are going to help us be more consistent with more great and original content, including right here on your Nerdcast feed, where the new I'm Not Famous will continue to follow out every other Thursday with the cool panels we've had from last year, leading into our new live streaming format for that, to where we'll have friends over in our new Project Nerd studio. Nerdcast will now be every other week. Time sensitive. I don't want to say live because it's not live, because this was 2 days before you guys get to hear it. But anyways, it'll be, time sensitive, what's on going on right now. But we're also going to mix in some of our B-sides and rarities, which will be conversations just out of nowhere, what's happening, things like that. And then of course, the Nerdcast presents movie night coming back, to where we'll spend a half hour focusing on a movie franchise or specific movie, or maybe other details related to movies. And then, of course, we are adding the ultimate sports fan podcast, hashtag sportsball, for Yay! All of you nerds who are kind of sports nerds too. We'll be going on the one and only Dark Lord himself, Gallo, will finally be joining us on the podcast side of things. We've brought him to the dark side. Yeah, works since he's the Dark Lord. But sportsball will be coming to you guys in March. We'll be taking a nerd perspective on sports and covering it. I feel like, as nerd and pop culture becomes more mainstream, sports is still big. More and more of us like all of the things. So I think this is a good approach right there to add the sportsball. G-Spot will be more regular, be moving to Wednesday, along with Dude Suite as well. Continue to see Meeple Skills as well as all of our video content coming week to week. And of course, High Five every week on Friday. We will have, the goal is, and I'm sure we will miss days, but the goal is I know you've put up with some slow schedule the past few months. So hopefully by mid-March to late March, definitely into April, you will see a podcast or interview of some sort every single day over on projectnerd.com. They are across multiple feeds. So you won't, if you're getting us on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you're picking us up, we're not necessarily broadcasting everything. We've got multiple feeds. So head on over to projectnerd.com, click on that podcast menu button. You'll see all the cool things we're doing, and you can subscribe to all the feeds. So cool. That was a mouthful. We got a lot going on, guys. Yeah. A lot of fun stuff, exciting stuff. All right, let's wrap this sucker up. Bob, do you want to open us up with some final thoughts here?
Sure. A couple good movies coming out this week. Iggy talked about it a lot. One of them is Jojo Rabbit.
So good. It's so good.
Okay. I may not have to send him my digital copy of it. He may buy it himself. And the other one?
I will probably. Adam's giving you a look.
And the other one.
You need my Vudu login. You just need that so we can all have.
You need my Vudu login. I have more than he does.
I would take either of them. Okay. It doesn't work.
Oh, well.
British.
Oh, you can't use it. So.
That's because you're in a sucky island. And then the other thing is A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is also released this week. So two really good films. And last but not least, go Chiefs.
I haven't seen A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood yet. I need to check that one out. So. Yeah. All right, Adam, what do you got for us to close this sucker down?
Man, I've been reading comics like it's going out of style, you guys. So I'm through 4 of the 6 Lock and Key books. I need to read 5 and 6 and then watch the series. I'm really excited about that. But my lovely, beautiful wife got me Saga Compendium 1 for Valentine's Day.
Aww.
Dude, the thing weighs like 2.5 pounds. It is a ridiculous book. Very excited. So restarted Saga as well. I had made it through probably, 6 or 7 of the regular collections. And the compendium is...
So there's 9 out. There's 9 out. And you hadn't gotten to 9 because I wanted to talk to you about...
Yeah, I hadn't gotten to 9, right.
Because at the end of 9, and then that's when they took their break because they wanted to take a little break.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Brian K. Vaughn, you get your ass back to work.
How are you right breaking now. There? Right. So yes. I think I made it through 5 or 6. I think I had bought 7, but I don't think I had read the last 2 or 3. So maybe I'm only on 4 or 5. But either way, I'm completely rereading them. The compendium is all 9. Amazing price. So if you haven't read Saga, pick up the compendium. I'll get Diggy to link it for you guys on Project Nerd so he can...
It's so good.
You can see that. It's such a good story. And the compendium is a great way to get it because it ends up being like buy 3, get 6 free or something like right. that. So, I mean, it's silly. If you're going to read it at all, buy the compendium right. and just call it good.
If you've been a longtime listener, you know Adam and I both don't shut up about the series.
Oh, it's so good. And anything Brian gave on, I read The Last Man, Why the Last Man this year. Oh, so good.
I love
it. Yeah, that's what I've been up to. Just
Paper, I need to catch back up on Paper Girls. That's been pretty good too. But I
need to start that one.
Yes, Saga 9. And for those that don't know, they took a short break. They're going back to it again. So new volumes, hopefully soon, but it was the halfway point. So they've already decided. They know where they're stopping. They have a complete story. Ooh. They mapped out a whole thing. It's kind of, I don't know, J.J. Abrams might want to take something from that book about mapping out a whole multi-
Whole story?
Right? Tell me you laid out a whole arc for this trilogy? Oh, yeah. Why would we do that? So anyway.
No, we made this movie. And it's really good. Right? We're not going to know what happens.
All right. I think, my closing comments was all the Project Nerd stuff we got going on, but also I think it's just right now really excited. We want to know what cons you're going to. Send us your cosplay pics. Send us all the things you're doing. Geek out, nerd out. Gosh, so excited about all the things we're doing, about all the things that our friends are doing. We got people, obviously C2E2 coming up. So we always have friends competing in the Crown Championship. So go friends, go all of you great people doing amazing, cool things. Let us see what they are. Tag us on social media. Project Nerd, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Us older guys spend more time on Facebook. So, you know, if you want to go there to tag us, like that's great. But check us out and share what you're doing too. So awesome. Nerdcast 218. We'll be back eventually for 219. Some of us, at least, I don't know, 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. Anyways, but best of luck to our crew at Pop-Up Luckers as they finish up this weekend up there in Milwaukee. And I guess until next time, catch you next. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. Catch you next week.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.